Like
Yeah.
you talk about like past relationships that didn't work, and maybe now because of that, we have too much sexual energy. I mean, is it better if like sometimes to be more productive at work, we release that sexual energy on maybe two, three, four different partners? I'm just, is
Yeah, no, that's
that
actually a really good question.
possible?
Entertainment purposes only. You'd be an idiot to listen to anything these degenerates say. Invest at your own risk, do research, but seriously don't listen to these ass clowns. Now enjoy Cash Daddies.
And welcome to Cash Daddies. We're banking fatties. Hope you guys had a great week. Joining me as always, from New York City, Howie Dewey, and of course, from The Tonight Show, Jay Nice, Johnny Woodard. How are you guys?
What's up?
All right.
What's going on?
I'm okay, buddy. It's almost tax time, so
it is. Well, hold on. You live in California.
Buckling in.
You live in California. They're giving us extensions.
You need an extension.
I really do. Look at this beard.
I'm not. That doesn't apply to me. I'll just say that.
Oh, interesting. Johnny's being shady, everybody. Johnny, how was your week?
Yeah, it was great. Bitcoin is soaring. I've been just dollar cost averaging into Bitcoin for a while. Slowly built a pretty sizable position, and now I got to decide. I think I'm just sticking it out, but
yeah, it's gonna go higher.
It looks good. Logging in today, and checking on the account. Looks great. Edge Wallet, our friend who we had on the show a couple months back. Great app. Got all my coin in there now.
Nice, and, Johnny. Nice. Nice, Jay. Nice.
It
nice.
Looks good. It hit 30. Amazing.
It's up 82% since January 1st.
Wild.
What are your thoughts on that, Howie?
I mean, we've said all along, if you're going to own one, own Bitcoin. I mean, you can take all these other altcoins, whatever, and from their highs to where they are now, they're all down 80, 90%. Bitcoin's down like 50. I mean,
So it's going to be interesting because, as you know, the Fed is trying to push you're seeing right now a giant movement to the Federal Reserve digital currency. It's a big movement. Yeah. And I know this is investment podcast and not so much a conspiracy podcast, but I do find it very interesting that is it called BRICS? Is that what the Chinese thing's called? That BRICS is becoming such a big thing right when the word on the street and the streets are talking that basically they want to get us off cash to the dollar, to the Fed Now coin or whatever, the CDC.
It's funny because the Fed came out and said that that's not going to be a digital currency. Fed Now.
Yeah, I don't think it is. Isn't it just I thought it was just a, and I don't get me wrong.
I got it right in front of me, Howie. You want me to read
fast transactions?
It says Fed Now is a payment service for the Federal Reserve. They're making it available for banks and credit unions to transfer funds.
It's basically, so let's say you needed a large chunk of cash, or you needed to send a large chunk of cash, and you don't want to wait 1 to 4 business days. They're setting it up where they'll be able to do it in seconds.
And Sam,
that's what I read into it.
And Sam, this is their statement on CBDCs. The Federal Reserve has made no decision on issuing a central bank digital currency and would only proceed with the issuance of a CBDC with an authorizing law. That's their current position on CBDCs.
Does anyone buy that?
No.
Thank you.
No, listen, I don't even look. I read the whole Fed Now situation with them being able to, do at time automatic quick transactions. Man, I wouldn't sign up for that shit.
Why not, Howie?
I just wouldn't. I mean, I Why wouldn't you, you know, there's still, I if I want to send somebody money, you know, I can use Zelle. It may take a little longer, but you know, it's at least a bank that you can buy stock in. It's, you know, I don't know right. how close it is to the Federal, but it's not the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be directly in bed with that situation.
Yeah. Look at Howie waking up.
No, that's something I read the whole thing and I'm like, yeah, this looks like they're trying to get their fingers in something that just
I mean, we see all the time, dude. We see all the time that this IMF lady, what's her name that runs the IMF, who looks like Mr. Burns' sister. Have you seen that chick?
Oh, the International Monetary Fund?
Yeah, that chick.
The French woman?
Yeah, she looks like Mr. Burns' sister.
Lagarde.
She's been basically, she got busted. She got tricked into doing a podcast. And she basically got them, she basically admitted that they need to insert themselves, that the centralized banks must insert themselves into the digital currency space, or else they're going to lose complete control.
I saw that. And she's not the only one that's saying that. What's her name from Jersey? What is it? A Warren, Elizabeth Warren or whatever. She's not from
Jersey. She's from a reservation.
No, but she taught at Rutgers. She was a professor. My buddy used to work over there with her. And look, man, she's the one that's saying, yeah, if we don't shut this down, you know, and don't get me wrong, we've seen what's happened. There's got to be some sort of regulation. Personally, I'd rather see a private entity come out and regulate it. And, you know, like a detective agency.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that shit. And, you know,
like, what do you mean? Like Sherlock Holmes?
Well, you know, let's say a bank like
Dick Tracy,
like a Celsius. Let's say a Celsius.
No, let's not say Celsius. Anybody but Celsius. Well, I mean, we got some news on that, right, Johnny?
Let's say something from Celsius was trying to, and they figured out they're trying to screw people, and they're going to, like, you know, get out of the country like Sammy Bankman. It'd be nice to have a private group that would catch them, you know, bring them a few floors below ground and just, you know, old-fashioned water torture. that I would rather see that than, look, like, you know, the IMF, don't get me wrong, the IMF, they came out today and they cut GDP across the world, huge, you know, they basically said we're going to be in a recession in the next few years. And it's more or less India and China are in worse shape than us. And Russia, I think they said Russia's GDP is 0.0, not even a percent, which is like, you're done.
Well, you know, I mean, everyone says we're in a recession, but, you know, I'm spending money left and right. I'm doing whatever I can. Everybody's taking my money and spending it on fucking everything. So I'm doing whatever I can. I'm getting bled dry by everybody I know.
Well,
anybody in my life with a vagina is just bleeding me. So I'm doing my part.
You know, before the women were doing it, Celsius was actually spending your money. We found that out this week. This is a conversation that was leaked between Chris Ferraro and Dean Tappan. These are two executives at Celsius. This guy, Dean Tappan, it seems like Chris Ferraro is his superior. I'm not sure what his exact position was, but he's talking about how all of these top guys at Celsius were basically buying worthless Celsius with users USD coin so that they could get about $40 million in buybacks that they were due. And they just took that right out of user funds is what the revelation was here. If you want to see that, you can go to this Twitter, at Celsians Network, CELSIANS Network.
That's basically unarmed robbery is what that is.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you, I mean, they kind of dramatize the, or they have the text thread here. I don't know if this is a dramatization or the actual screen recording, but
if we had a private entity, like, we could have Chris and Dean in a basement, just old fashioned duct tape.
That is a big problem.
It's funny though; these guys actually have a problem with it.
In the face. What?
Both of these guys have a problem with it that they're talking about here. They're like, he's actually, Dean is trying to rat on them, like, hey, this is crazy, I can't believe they're doing this shit. And then this guy, Chris, is like, are you kidding me?
We've been screwing everybody for years.
No, so Chris is like, he's finding out, right?
Yeah, that's him. He's finding out right here from this guy, Dean. And he's like, wait, they didn't have any lockups. There weren't any, you know, because most times when you have, when you're paid bonuses like that, you know, you have to wait for them to mature. You can't just immediately steal money from, which you should never be able to do that anyway. But yeah, so that was fascinating from Celsius, and just more proof that more than a few people should be in jail from Celsius.
Yeah, that's,
I mean, it just is unbelievable. But all of this makes sense if you start, like, I'm really just in this place where everything.
Sorry, Sam, and he's the interim CEO. He's the chief restructuring officer, is what they're calling him. So.
So he just discovered this and is like. Is he the guy that we listened to on those calls, Johnny?
I don't know about that, Sam, but he would have been the guy that they brought in right when they first like started getting in the shit.
And
they were still paying out those fucks.
And to get back to the Fed now, which is supposed to be, they're supposed to be launching it in July, I believe. You know, I read everything about that, and they said, you know, it's instant. Hopefully in the future, it'll replace credit card payments and point of traction, transaction sales. And I'm sitting there reading the whole thing, and all I could think of in the back of my head was Sam saying, social credit score. Because those are related, man. I mean, think about how this FedNow could track you. If they're literally saying that in the future it replaces credit card transactions and your shit goes right to the Fed, they know automatically within, you know, they probably do now. But, man, I don't like that. I don't like that one.
Well, dude, if you go buy gold, these people who sell you gold have to take your Social Security number.
Yeah, of course. Any investment basically that is legal. Yeah, whether you're buying gold or silver or anything.
Wait, but
yeah,
you don't, not when you're buying jewelry, you don't have to give your Social Security number. That's crazy.
Why? It's crazy. I just bought some gold the other day because, you know, I walk the walk, I talk the talk, okay? I'm talking and I'm walking. That's what I do. I'm walking here and I'm talking here. So I went and I bought some gold and he took down my Social Security number. Yeah. So now that's on the record.
Johnny, so, I think jewelry wise, I think it's over a certain amount. I don't know.
Oh, really? Well, I mean, I get that's not technically an investment either. You know, that's like, you know, it's like buying fashion or something. But I don't like that.
I've never bought a huge amount of diamonds or anything, so I don't know. Like, but I'm probably get a lot of your info.
Oh, really? That's a drag.
I mean, I know when you're buying gold and silver in chunk. Or, you know, any brokerage account, that's, you know, that goes back to the whole Patriot Act. And I don't have a problem with that.
Oh, of course it does. Yeah,
I don't
of course
have a problem
it does.
With that. You know,
the biggest overreach. You have a problem with what?
In history.
Well, I don't have a problem. There's got to be a point where I can understand how that surfaced, because you had, you know, basically cells moving in millions of dollars into accounts, all kinds of accounts in the United States. And I believe, and after September 11th, all that shit came down. I mean, that was to track them. Don't get me wrong. I don't like the whole tracking finances thing, because I'm pretty sure the government knows how much Warren Buffett has right to the penny.
Yeah, but you know what's so funny? You see all these memes all the time. Like, the government wants to know what you spent $600 on. But when they audit anything in the government, they're like, yeah, I'm just the audit didn't work. The audit didn't work. We just couldn't get it done. It's crazy.
No,
it's crazy.
I know, man. It's this FedNow thing. I hopefully will never use it. I just, you know, why would you use it? You can use other private entities, or I just don't see why the fuck it's needed. I really don't. Oh, we can do it instantly. You know, Zelle's pretty quick. Never had a real problem with it. 24 hours. I mean, I don't get that, man.
I do think there are some maximums on Zelle, though. Transfer maximums. Maybe these don't have caps like that.
Yeah, these it's a higher amount. I mean, I know it is. I think it's half a million, million, maybe more.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a lot. But yeah, that'll be interesting. It launches in July. We'll see what happens. Sam, let's get into this week. This is one of the most interesting things as far as an investor that I've seen in years. And I did a lot of research on this because what, about a week ago, week 2 weeks ago, Anheuser-Busch Budweiser, which is a stock we've traded on here, the Patreon. We made good money trading Bud.
Yeah.
And bunch of people put videos up, Kid Rock shooting Bud Lights, fuck you, because they're doing a ad sponsoring campaign with a tranny, transgender, whatever. So you see that, and you see everybody's boycotting it. I talked to a bar owner, he's like, fuck Bud Light, this and that. So I'm looking, and every goddamn day the stock's going up. And I'm like,
Really?
what is going? Yeah, dude. So Budweiser, which was trading at 50 in the summer, it's at an all-time high, or maybe 50 cents from the all-time high, it's or the year high, $65.50. Over the past month, it's up 20%. It
Let
just
me ask you something, Howie. So when a company like BlackRock wants an ESG score, and you do that ESG score, do you think that BlackRock in any way sends you more money, investment money? So could it be that, yeah, maybe sales are down, but because they're hitting their social credit scores, that BlackRock, Vanguard, and all these other places are buying more of their stock.
That's one of the first things I thought of. So I started researching the shit out of it. And I went back to 2008. The first thing people got to realize in this country, Kid Rock should learn something. And that is Budweiser is not an American country. It
Yes.
hasn't been for 13 years. It has nothing
Yes.
to do with this country. It's owned by a country over in Belgium. So there's no CEO of Budweiser or Anheuser-Busch. He's a president. He's a puppet. He does what he's told from the CEO, who's actually from Brazil, who actually runs what is it? AB in Beverage. They own Budweiser, they own Stella, they own Goose Island, Blue Point, they own and everything. So in 2012, Budweiser sales were dropping. They were dropping badly. So basically, these guys took over. And I don't know if you know that knew this, but most Budweiser's not sold in the United States. Way over 50% of all Bud and Bud Light is sold in India and China.
Really?
Budweiser's one of the most popular beers in Europe,
What?
China, India, all over the place. Yeah, it's way more popular outside of this country than it is in this country. So I'm sitting here. You can look all this up. I've already researched it. You got three main beverage companies in the world. You got Molson Coors. Then you got Constellation Brands, which has been kicking the shit out of Budweiser and Molson over the past 10 years. They own Corona, Modelo, Sam Adams. They've been just kicking ass, Constellation Brands. But Budweiser, most of the Budweiser is drank overseas, not drank in the United States. I mean, they've been losing steam. Budweiser, his Anheuser-Busch has gotten crushed in this country for two main reasons. The first was the rise of microbrews,
Yeah, IPAs for sure.
IPAs, and microbrews have kicked the shit out. And then the nail in the coffin was about 5 years ago when everybody started drinking these fucking seltzer sodas.
Yep.
White Claw. White Claw,
Yep.
they're kicking the shit out of not just
Yeah.
Budweiser, Coors Light, all these domestics. So I think probably they went with this campaign. I don't think it had anything to do with the so-called head of advertising. She was probably told by somebody in Europe, this is what we want you to do. And
Oh,
that's
dude,
probably what happened.
whether it's Europe or BlackRock, she got her marching, she got her orders. Well, on what they want her to do.
She got an order. Sure. She didn't come up with this on her own. And they told her what to do. And we'll see what happens, because I always dictate these. I always look real close at companies like Molson, which is symbol TAP. I bought it in the past. Bud, BUD. I like to look at it from May 1st to like the last week of June. A lot of times you'll see it drop. Then I like to buy it like last year, buy it a week or two before July 4th. Traditionally, it's gone up. But right now, this fucking thing's trading at like a year high. I mean, and I'm kind of pissed I didn't go back in and buy it at 55, 56. Some of our readers did. They're still holding it. So, you know, there you have it. I mean, it's going to be tough to tell how much this is really going to hurt. You know, and here's another thing. This is something that blew my mind. So I'm researching the shit out of this. And listen, I don't like CNN. I don't watch it. I think it's complete garbage. And I think Fox News is equal. I think they both suck. I don't watch them because I don't feel there's any truth to what's going on in the world.
I totally agree with what you're saying, dude.
I don't have any faith in them.
The more and more I just think that so much of this shit is just made up. A giant psyop over and over again, dude.
So I'm looking at this article.
You're totally 11th, right, man.
A few days ago, Fox News puts this out. It says Bud Light suffers bloodbath as longtime and loyal consumers revolt against transgender campaign. And I'm thinking, bloodbath. And that got me to look at the stock. I was like, wow, man, this has got to be a buying opportunity. I look at the stock, and the fucking stock's gone straight up since this transgender. And I'm like, what are they talking about?
What are they talking about?
And you know, and it's, and I'm not just saying Fox News, CNN is just bad or worse. But when I look at news, I like to read Barron's. I like to read Financial Times. I like to read Investors Business Daily, because you can kind of at least get an accurate description of what companies
are
making.
Right.
How are they saving
money? Crazy how.
Yeah. So
that's just crazy,
isn't it? It's wild.
That's nuts, dude.
I mean,
and it totally opens up to what I've been saying, that so much of this shit. Now, I've done a couple other podcasts where we discuss this stuff, and I have a major problem with the chick who did this. You listen to the way she talks. She's just like such an Ivy League piece of shit, right? So I have major problems with all of it, you know?
It's a goofy ass campaign. She's out of can.
It just really is just them trying to fuck with us, in my humble opinion, dude. And this is more political shit, behind the scenes shit. My humble opinion, everybody can say whatever they want. I don't care, but this seems to me to be done to cause us to fight with each other.
I agree with you there. I really do. Because truthfully, I'm looking at the whole macro situation, and it's like, okay, I can see if you're pissed because you think this is what they're doing to try to separate us. But on the other hand, it's like, I don't know. I've never drank Bud Light. It was always kind of shitty.
Never drank Bud Light.
I have. Don't get me wrong. I've been to a couple parties around a fire back when it was like $6 a case. But I mean, in all honesty, who really gives a fuck? I mean, you could put like a fucking midget on a can. I don't care. I mean,
you don't care. Some people do, because
some people
it's
do.
Just this movement again to start fighting with each other and all that.
And shit. I understand that. I don't like that. It's garbage.
Yeah. I mean, but this is like shocking to me that you say this. It's like super shocking to me.
Yeah.
Because I've just felt like, you know, as somebody who, you know, grew up very liberal, is still liberal, but is seen by many as conservative. Obviously I'm well known as a conspiracy theorist, and I'm just starting to realize, you know, Johnny, I've talked to you about this. There's a show on television called The Boys. And in one episode, the bad guy, who's actually a woman, right, takes one of the superheroes and who's a dark superhero and shows her how her company floods the internet with memes on both sides. So nobody gets along, and they like to just see what goes viral. And that really stuck with me. It really, I go, wow, this is revelation of the method here. And there you go. There's all this stuff going, oh, this stock, you know, their sales have gone down. Their sales have gone down, but their stock has gone up. So the question is, what does that even mean?
Their sales haven't gone down, man. Because number one, it's not an American company. When you look and you find the facts, and that is most Budweiser drinkers are in India and China.
That is crazy.
Do you think those people in India and China even know if they get that can and whoever the fuck, they're going to be like, who's this? This must have been one of the first Indians in America.
Yeah, you're completely right. You're completely and utterly right.
They don't know what the fuck's going on. They're over there building skyscrapers for, you know, 99 cents an hour, working their ass off, probably
you're
drinking.
Completely right, dude. 100%.
So it's some wild shit,
that's
man.
That's crazy shit, dude.
Yeah.
That's mind blowing. And what'd you buy this week, Howie, before we get to our guest?
Yeah, last week we went really, I really like the SQQQQ, the three Qs. I mean, we're hoping the market drops. Bought it at 29.80, 30. It's up to 31, I believe. Tomorrow's a big day, though, because the CPI number, the consumer price index number, comes out. You know, if it's right where it should be, markets may go even. If it's hotter than usual, we may see a huge drop tomorrow because the Fed is probably going to raise interest rates one more time. We are 90% chance headed into a recession. I don't think we're in one yet because employment wages are still high, but I think it's going to be soon. Might be this in 2 or 3 months. We're in a recession. Things will slow for, who knows, 6 months, a year. You know, hopefully prices don't go up anymore and we weather it and, you know, the market still goes, but gonna be a lot of opportunity. We have a lot of stuff I'm looking at this week that could be solid.
Wow. This is
crazy. I still like SQQQ. I think the market's gonna go down.
All right. So let's shall we get into the guests now?
Let's go, man.
All right, let's do it. Hey everybody, we want to tell you about our friend Jason McMahon and copymycrypto.com.
Guys, we've seen so many people making ridiculous money from crypto, but did you know it would be really easy for you to do the same? The Copy My Crypto membership site shows you the coins that YouTuber James McMahon personally holds and allows you to copy him. It's like having a big brother who knows exactly what he's doing. You don't need to know a thing about crypto or how to invest. You simply do what he does. So let me tell you more about James. He runs the Crypto with James YouTube channel, which, despite heavy censorship, something we're familiar with, has more than 26,000 members. Since March 2020, he's told his viewers to buy 26 crypto coins. Had you put $100 into each one, it would have gone on to be worth $123,000. Of the 26 coins, his top pick of the year, a coin called Phantom, went up 692 times from when he named it. That one call has retired a number of people, including guys in their 20s and 30s. And remember, this is public knowledge. You can go to YouTube and verify it yourself. So if you'd like to join the 2,800 members who copy James, then stop what you're doing and head over to copymycrypto.com/Sam.
That's copymycrypto.com/Sam. That's S-A-M. You'll not only find proof of everything that Johnny said, but our listeners get full access for just $1, okay? Once again, that's copymycrypto.com/Sam. The recession is here, guys. You can suffer with like everyone else or choose to thrive. James is the real deal. Go check out his site now. All right, let's get into the guests. Always excited to have a lady join us on the Sausage Fest. We're very excited to have you here. She's a financial muse. I like that. Please welcome to the show, Asha. How are you, Asha?
I'm so well, Sam. I just love being at a sausage party.
Yes, you're the best. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
thank
you. I love sausages.
Thank you. Thank you for playing with us. So, Asha, for our listeners who may not be familiar with you, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and where our listeners can find you?
Yes, first of all, thank you again. I'm so happy to be here and welcome to all the listeners today. My name is Asha T. I am a CEO and founder of Beyond EQ International. I work with men and women in their vibes and their frequency to help them attract really awesome stuff in the form of love and money. And I love it. I can be found on LinkedIn as Asha T. LeCount. And I primarily hang out there. And then I also do a lot of really cool posts on Facebook as well. And I speak a lot about the king and queen embodiment and feminine embodiment for women, which naturally helps men make more money, believe it or not.
Okay. So let's get into that. Let's have a discussion about what exactly is your thing. What do you do for men? Where do you want to start?
Yeah, good question. So with men in particular, what I do in my method is we start by, the cool thing about me is I'm equally right-brained and left-brained. Like, I'm not just some like floaty-toady emotions lady. I love numbers. I love analytics and I love money. Like, I ain't ashamed of it. I freaking pour me in the money. Let's go. Let's make investments.
I've been in CEO
for a very long time. Yeah. And I worked in fundraising and VCs and I've lived in about three countries. So I got the cred. I also went to school for hospitality and management and accounting. So what I do and what really helps my men clients is I quantify emotions with a frequency test. So it's really cool. We take 26 areas of emotional intelligence and we measure where their frequency is. Your frequency dictates what you bring into your life. It's the shit that you're holding on to. It's the trauma that you have. Like, your vibe, people are always like, oh yeah, energy is everything. Like, your vibe is your tribe. But like, what does that actually really mean? And so I keep it really simple. It comes down to the list of people you don't like, the stories that you tell yourself, the daily choices that you make. And I fix it with my magical process that I do with men. And it fills them up with power and purpose. Oh, you've gone deaf. Sam, I can't hear you.
Sorry, I had dogs here barking. I'm all about that action. I really do like it. I think it's and I think it will resonate with our listeners. So let me ask you something. Tell me about sexual energy and money. How do those work together?
Awesome. I love that question. Okay, so we got something going down right now in the whole collective of the world, if you guys aren't really too familiar, but there's a massive agenda out with emasculation of men and toxic masculinity and all these silly little phrases. And it's actually really, really deep. They're masculinizing women and making women feel internally that they have to have like all this anxiety. So what I do is I work with women to release that anxiety and that pressure and come back into their feminine essence. Men are very simple. The love of a woman, a really beautiful, loving woman, will either fuel them or they'll run away because they don't feel that way about themselves. So when with my work, what I do is I use sexual energy in women, which is the strongest energy in the world. The strongest energy in the world is sexual energy. And I bring them back into their sexual confidence. And I do that through a whole series of womb work and self-pleasure practice for women. And then when it comes to men, I bring them back into their purpose through what we call the sacral chakra. It's the chakra right above the root chakra. And I fill them up with personal power in my energy work and an understanding of trauma. So just to touch on that and just to off, like, one simple thing that men can look at is like the shitty ex-girlfriend or the mother that ruined their life or the one that got away. So if a man is still holding on to that in some way, it's going to affect his now in his purpose and his ability to make money consciously or subconsciously.
No, this is resonating because basically, you know, we hear it's a well-known saying, happy wife, happy life.
Yes.
But very rarely do we talk the other way around. Yeah. And the desire to, or the need to basically prop up your man so he could go out there and make some money. And yeah. I think that is a big problem we have in relationships right now, in that people, we might have out of balance relationships. And not that one gender or the other gender should have to do one thing or the other, but we do have some traditional roles that seem to be a little out of whack. And I'm not telling anybody how they should live their life or anything like that, but I'm telling you, it seems like nobody's happy.
Yeah. Are you married, Sam?
I have a girlfriend, a baby's mama, two daughters, and they're spending all my money.
There you go. That's
it. There we go. There we go.
So, okay. So, well, I mean, there's some really amazing things in that. I just want to say thank you for doing that, because there's such a level, like, men by nature are providers. They're not kumbaya, sit around and let's braid each other's hair and talk about emotions all day.
Yes.
Let's get action done and fuel. And that's why I call myself a business muse, is because men, you want men feeling inspired and feeling fucking purposeful. That's like the whole point of a man's existence. And so what happens right now, because of what you just described and what happened in my first marriage, I was married. I was, the reason I'm able to teach on this is because I was this anxious woman. I was so controlling, running from thing to thing. There was never enough money. There was never enough of this. And so many women have this. And then what we do is we're like, oh, he's narcissistic. When in reality, we're the ones that are not giving our husband any loving. And then we give everybody else, keep up with the Joneses. And this is so common. And then men find themselves maybe stretched or drained. And then like the man's like, the woman will all of a sudden go, this isn't going anywhere. I'm out of here. And then the man's like, well, what are you even talking about? Like, where are we going? And like, then what I find is a lot of men are now supporting two or three different relationships of women that may keep jumping from place to place. Something that I would have done if I wasn't stopped by the grace of God and given all this energetic power.
Respect.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You talk about like past relationships that didn't work, and, you know, maybe now because of that, you know, we have too much sexual energy. Is it better if, like, sometimes to be more productive at work, we release that sexual energy on maybe 2, 3, 4 different partners? Is that possible?
Actually a really good question. So masturbation and sexual intercourse isn't sexual energy. So even, let's say, for example, you're a man and you're married to some woman who hasn't been intimate with you in a long time, and you decide to go out and start sleeping with hookers or whatever.
Well, they don't have to be hookers.
Yeah, or whatever, right? Or whatever.
Right, woman.
She sized you up fast, Howie.
Yeah, she really did. She got you. She's using her energy to read your energy.
Oh, Howie, I love you. I'll call you after the show, Howie. Okay, so I'm very expensive now. I'm not your run of the boa. Okay, so anyway, So what I was going to say was, sexual energy actually has nothing to do with the action of having sex. It's the life force known as chi. So when a man decides he wants something, or really badly, he's going to seed it. Right? That's what it is. And then 9 months later, we have a baby. That's how powerful this energy is. Now, if the sex and pornography and other outlets for releasing ejaculation and other forms of just like getting your fix worked, we wouldn't have such a high increase in prostate cancer. So prostate cancer is rising because men don't know how to release the sexual energy, and they think it comes through sex and pornography, when the energy is actually attachments to love that was lost, or being in a relationship with a woman that's not fueling you with love. Love is an energy, and sexual energy is an energy. And they needs love.
This resonates with me again, because, you know, I have a problem with drugs and alcohol. I stopped doing drugs. I stopped drinking. I stopped all that stuff. And my career started taking off. I do have a sex addiction. I'm very open about it, and I work on it daily. And like, that's a lot of energy putting out.
Yeah.
You know, it's like instant gratification and all that stuff. And it's just bad energy to be putting out. And I guarantee, if you hold that back in. What is the movement? The no flap, whatever they're called.
Yeah, no fap.
No fap. And all those guys are like, dude, just try it. Trust me, man. Man, the energy, your energy will be here. And I'm like, I wouldn't doubt it, man. I just wouldn't doubt it. Now, if I get rid of pornography and all that stuff, which I would love to, I'm going to be stuck with just staring at the wall. That will be one of my hobbies since I don't do drugs and drink and any of that stuff. But I do understand that the energy that you give away, it's like with boxing. They always tell boxers you can't have sex before you box because you're going to give away your chi.
Yeah.
So it does resonate with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you have a sexual addiction, aren't you supposed to work on that daily?
Yeah, by not
engaging. You got a lot of stuff to release.
By not engaging in it. That's what it is.
Actually, I would like to share with you what I see for that with that addiction. So having myself had a drug and alcohol, really tumultuous relationship with drug and alcohol, and also before I got married, I actually haven't had sex in almost 2 years. I've been celibate and really just cleaning up my own energy. But what you're describing actually, Sam, is what we call behavioral self-control. So it's a trigger response. So typically when we're dealing with people that have a trigger response, the sex is just, you can fill in the blank. You know, you could put the gym in there as your addiction. You could put, you know, rice in there as your addiction. You can put whatever, you know, so you've gone from drinking and drugs to sex, or maybe now more so sex. So it's not the action, right? It's not what it is. It's the behavioral pattern of feeling like you need that thing to get a hit of dopamine. So when we talk about your trauma, you may look at like your mother wound or your father wound and your own self-worth. So you could even start just by writing down like 20 times in your life so far that you haven't felt worthy, and just going back there gently and like just going back to that version of Sam and like giving him love and just letting him know that he's going to be okay. And then you could even write him a little letter and burn the letter, and that will start to release the attachment you have to your own worth. Yeah. Oh, Sam, you're muted again, hon.
He's writing that stuff down right now. I'm going to take him an hour.
I do believe that any of your energy, thank you guys, that if any of your energy balance is out of whack, it will affect so many different parts of your just life, including your finances.
Yeah.
If you're out of control spiritually, sexually, you're going to be out of control financially.
Yeah. 90% of all self-made millionaires have one common link, and it's emotional regulation. It's balance. This is why it takes a woman longer. I have my own company. I'm a CEO of my own company. But because of my emotional intelligence business, I've been able to take over $500,000 in the first 2 years of my business while my entire life was burning down. Like I was burning down in hell. I lost like 50 pounds. I was assaulted twice. I was divorced, moved countries, had a dude attached to my soul for 18 years. It's all in the book. And so, yeah, it just,
what is your book? You didn't push it. What is your book?
No, I know. I haven't even mentioned it. Well, it's called The Empath is the Narcissist. And it's about push-pull dynamic in trauma bonding and understanding that it's really, there's magnitudes, of course, and there's terrible people doing terrible shit all over this planet. But the magnitude of what we hold and hurt on that person is affecting us in the now, because time is non-linear. So the book is a healing book designed to get people to start thinking about what they want for themselves and thanking those people for the lessons and healing from it and doing that through energy.
Tell us a little bit about trauma bonding and how it affects people in their finances.
Thank you. Yeah. So it has a huge effect on it. So when money is a masculine energy. So when we take action, when we make money, when we seed something, we're in our masculine. So for example, as a woman, I have to do a lot of receiving work, opening up, sexual practice. I do self-pleasure practice at least 3 times a day minimum, and like really make it into an experience so that I can receive a lot of money. And this is a thing for women. With men,
hold on. You can't just say that and expect 3 guys to sit there quietly.
I do self.
You're doing self pleasure three times a day.
Yes, sometimes.
And this is how you get money.
Yeah.
Sam,
that hasn't worked for me so far. I'll just say that.
It doesn't work for men that way. It's for women. Okay.
That makes sense because I've been trying since I would be like a billionaire, honestly.
No, yeah. A woman, it's called de-armoring. So I work long hours. I'm a CEO. I have a team of six and I de-armor. So I'm like letting myself relax and really calm down. I really even recommend to any women watching this or hearing this, if you're coming home from work and you're coming home to a man or even to yourself, just relax, like take a load off and get into your feminine energy. And so that's how I run my business. I run it through feminine energy. And that's one of the ways that you do it.
And so would you suggest most women get off three times a day?
Yes. I believe that women have lost touch with their body as a general whole, and they're in their mind and their thinking. And that is detrimental to a woman. She should be about 80 to 90% in her body, 10 to 20% in her analytical mind.
Now, right. I have lately been called an old man because I have been the dynamics between men and women have shifted so much. And you have like these guys who are doing these a man on the streets, and all they do is like, they're just like, hey man, what's the weirdest thing you do? And what women say they do out loud is just insanity. And it's not that I have a problem with women being freaky or anything like that.
Yeah.
But we live in a time where the greatest betrayal you could ever do is having a man raise a child thinking it's his when it's not his. And there's a reason why we have lockdowns. If you look at the amount, and you know, that Sex Before Dawn book where they're like, yeah, everyone used to just fool around and everyone would raise the kids. And I'm like, I don't really see that in the animal kingdom anywhere else with mammals. And on top of that, I tend to think that it's actually the opposite, where the male comes in and takes out all the offspring of another male, then restarts the family. So is this part of the out of whack you're talking about? And not that women should have to be prudes or do any of that. I'm not saying that at all, but you know, you hear these body counts that women are openly talking about. That seems to go against like everything over time. And maybe I am an old man. What do you think about that?
Oh my God. No, I love what you're sharing. Yeah, I'm fully on board with that. I'm down for people doing whatever brings them joy. I don't care. I don't even care if it's legal. Just do what brings you joy. In my personal belief system, a woman doesn't even need to date or have sex with anybody. She can magnetize what she wants. She is that powerful. Love is, okay, so there's love and truth. Those are the highest frequencies. So many people can't speak their truth because they're afraid that the person they're with is going to leave them. Instead, they'd rather talk shit about them behind their back instead of actually just setting a boundary or like trying again and realizing that this whole thing is just a freaking game of energy and things will get better if you heal yourself.
The whole thing is just a game of energy.
It's like this is a big
That's the most true shit you'll ever hear.
Yeah. And the deeper you go into your own energy and the more you release all of that shit that you're holding on to, the more you're going to line up with way more high vibe people. So for me, I don't date. And I don't sleep around because I magnetize men into my energy field and I'm looking for a husband. It's a different vibe. I don't believe in all of that. And I'll tell you right now, I had a man when it comes to trauma bonding. I'm 41 now. And when we were about 18 or 19, he and I slept together, this like wicked, you know, you guys know that connection that's like, and like your wicked, like super, super intense sexual energy. And then somebody leaves and then you're like ghosted and you're like, ah, my heart's never going to heal. Well, that's what I teach people in. It's called 100%. Yeah, 100%. And we all go through it. It's a bit of a wake up call. Well, he actually never healed from me. And for 18 years, I could feel something wrong inside my body. I could feel it. And I was like, what's going on? And I was much heavier. I had really dark eyes. I was really being anxious toward my husband. And then I started doing the inward work. And all of a sudden, one day I reached out to this guy and he said, I can't believe you reached out to me. I just let you go. And I said, what? And he goes, I just got a new girlfriend last month. And I said, what the fuck? And then I was like, you've been holding on to me this whole time?
How long was that?
18 years.
18 years you went without a girlfriend?
18. No, he had like relationships in there, but he kept.
Damn, you must have put it on him.
Damn, man.
I know. Yeah. Well,
you must have dynamite.
Yeah. You got that freak shit.
Yeah, it's good. And I'm fun. It's fun. It's confusing. And I remind everybody of their narcissistic mother, but I'm like consistently loving. So they're like, what is this? Ah, like, you do a lot of crying going on in private. Yeah. So anyway, after 18 years, so when he let go, I lost all this weight. I was like, quickly got a divorce. And I was like, I'm going to be with this man. Rah. And then within 6 weeks, he ghosted my ass. And I just was like, ugh. And I just died. It's all in the book. The empath is the narcissist. And I started seeing him be narcissistic, if you will, in quotations, toward me. And then I was trying to codependently be on his shit. And then I was doing the opposite to my husband. And it was all playing out real, real crazy. And I said, this is a massive calling. I got to help people. And that's when I started getting into feminine and masculine energy.
Okay, so let's get into this. Emotional intelligence, the fastest way to make your money in business. Energy and your belief is everything.
Yep. Hands down.
Everything is a game of energy. That is
everything. I'm writing this down right now. There is no doubt that emotional intelligence and clearing your energy field will be the fastest way that you make money in a business. I see it over and over and over again. I see women and men stepping into like immense amounts of power. We just drop time. And it's called unicorn, right? And a unicorn actually biblically represents Christ and Sophia. So the masculine and feminine. So that's no coincidence either. And emotional intelligence is the right hemisphere of the brain, which is the emotions, and the left, which is taking action and making aligned decisions. Because you can't just sit around and do inward work all day. I mean, you can, but like, you got to take action, but you want to take the most aligned action. Now, if you've got shit in your head that says, I can't do this,
yeah,
I should be doing this, and you can't figure out how to let it go, then you're going to keep making the wrong decisions and you're just doing busy work.
I think that is exactly what it is. When you're all over the place, you're not focusing on one task, one thing at a time, or a couple tasks, and not just being a jack of all trades, jack of all trades, master of none. So yeah. I find that to be a very interesting conversation. And it's just, man, you're totally right about everything being an energy game.
Yeah. And it's, people say that shit all the time, Sam, and they'll be like, oh, everything is energy, but it's actually energy is your trauma. That's what it is. If you're holding on to a list of people that you don't like, start going through that list and sitting in your room and energetically sending them love. A good exercise that men and women can do, let's say you have like a heartbreak that you haven't been able to get over. You sit in your room, just close your eyes, takes 5 minutes, and you visualize your heart being open while this woman is breaking your heart, or the man is breaking your heart. You do it in a safe way. And you just keep visualizing your heart opening more and more and more. It hurts. You're going to feel pain. The heart is not a blood pump. It is a brain. It is directly connected to a woman's womb, which is why so many women can't get pregnant, is because they have disconnected her heart from her womb and then created birth control. And that actually affects her mind. So when she's up here all day, she's not in here, and she's certainly not down here in her womb space. And therefore, it's creating all this masculine and energy in women. And men don't want that shit, because the number one thing that's going to make a man run is judgment. A man cannot stand being judged, and he shouldn't have to stand being judged. He's the leader. And
you know,
women
so
can't
interesting.
Even hear that. They're like, what the fuck is that? So you keep practicing your heart. Just keep practicing it open and let the pain come through you, and then allow yourself to forgive that person and write a letter and burn it.
And that would be the best way for like Sam to get rid of one of his ex-men?
Yes, one of his ex-men, yeah.
Okay, I got you. I saw what you did there, Howie. That was funny.
That's funny.
I got it. You did a gay joke there. That was funny. But you know what's so interesting? Because you always hear women say this a lot, that men hate a smart woman. And I've never once met a guy that ever said, oh, she's smart. That's so gross. I never heard that ever in my life. But what women tend to do, and we all tend to do, and men do this in business relationships, and women do this in personal relationships, which is this notion that we want to keep it real and we want to keep it honest, right? Yeah. And what that really becomes is like, you're just constantly nagging motherfuckers and just being like, when they need somebody to stand behind them and support them, you're really just busting their balls all the time. And when a man goes out into the real world, it's an energy war, right? It's a game of energy. And he comes back, he doesn't want that at home. And just like, you know, I know this guy used to go on the road with people doing comedy, and he would just sit there and just to their face, these people that took him on the road would just tell them all the stuff that he thought they were doing wrong. And I'm like, why do they want to take you on the road? They want somebody to just hang out and chill with, support them, tell them they're doing well. Because even the biggest comics I know, and I know the biggest ones, are insecure people.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of these people love ass kissers. And we go, why don't they see the ass kissing that's going on? Well, because they're so insecure. And I speak of myself as well. They're so insecure that they just want someone to tell them they're doing well.
Yeah, that's it. Self-love, self-worth. Yeah. So if one of you guys right now were like, fuck you, Lasha, I hate you so much, I literally would just be like, oh, that's supposed to happen. I have zero reaction to a man's truth. I wouldn't say zero, but if I feel something off, I go, oh, that doesn't feel good. I have to figure out why that doesn't feel good for me. But a man right now in this climate, if he tells the truth too much, he's considered toxic. But a man is only telling the truth, and the woman will go like, oh God, you hurt me. That's so hurtful. And I know this because I was this woman. I'm like, oh my God, he's so mean. But really, he's just telling his truth. I can't handle the truth. So there's a lot of layers to what you're saying. It doesn't mean just go around being an asshole. It means have some empathy and be kind, but I'm going to give you the truth. And I want the truth. I would rather someone tell me the truth than people please me all day, because I don't care what you think about me. And the hashtag love and light, but like, I really don't care. It's not going to get me to stop talking about the fuckery that's going on with feminine and masculinity right now.
I totally agree, man.
Yeah. Takes time to get to that place, doesn't it? You got to get heckled. I've been heckled on social media so much. And every time I'm like, gift for my self-worth. So I want to be a comedian. I want to be on my roller skates talking about this stuff and being with you guys and like being able to sit in the disagreement.
All right. Well, I love all of it. One more time, where can they find your book?
Oh God, you're awesome. Yes. So I'll send the link to you guys. It's okay, called
Johnny will put into the description.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Asha. Thank you so much for coming on. It was really great talking to you.
Can I also give your audience a free ebook as well?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's called Emotional Intelligence Creates Unicorns, the fastest way to make money in your business. And I think
bang, unicorns of fire, bro. Let's make it happen. Okay, that will be in the link as well.
And I have one more gift too, if that's okay.
All the gifts.
Yes. Okay, cool. We've got another webinar. It's like a 45-minute webinar. It's just me talking about emotional intelligence. It's for men and women. And I've got clients that have lost like 45 pounds, gotten huge raises, have an epic sex. That's pretty much all we really want, right? Money, love, sex, and maybe and a nice little glow up. So yeah, so I'll send that over too if I can, and then people can join me there if they like.
All right, Asha, thank you so much for coming on. This was better than ever expected. It was a great conversation, and it was fun, and it was we get some dry guests on here, but you were very live and great, and keep us posted on your comedy. We'd love the support. And anything we do, you have an open door to come on anytime you want.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. Don't say that. I'll be here every week.
Okay. Hey, we might
add I'll be your token Vanna White.
Yeah, that's what we'll do.
The other guests.
Bang. Yeah. Here we go.
Look, my chest is red. It means I like it.
Okay.
I'm so excited. It was so good to meet all three of you guys. I appreciate you very much.
Thank you very much. Take care. Thanks for coming on Cash Daddies.
Yeah,
I'll send you the link to the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. See you.
Wow. Great guest. Great energy. She might be back on the show. We might need a permanent co-host. Right? Huh?
Asha, sex energy correspondent. That would
we
be
need
great.
Sex energy on this show. We need something.
Yeah. Okay. She brought it. 60 minutes. I had wood for like five.
Perfect, dude. So let's get into it. Howie, why don't you give us your pick of the week?
Look, same as last week. It's gone up a point since last week, but I still like SQQQ, the shorting the NASDAQ. I think it's going down. I'm also looking at a couple other things. If IBM's at 130, if it drops down to 123, 124, I'm probably on it. But that's the main thing right now. I mean, oil and energy is just popping right now. We're in a lot of that. So we're looking for a little sell-off.
All right. Well, you know, I put my money where my mouth is. I bought gold. I'm still, like, as we hurl more and more towards this thing, I'm just going to buy a bunch of gold, bunch of silver, just try to hold on to it, see what happens. And, hey, man, you might want to buy some Bitcoin now, too. So
gold, look, man, gold is at a two-year high. And I have some pretty good information, and they say that silver is going to go hand in hand with gold. It'll go up the same amount.
Johnny, I'm going to ask one last question, and we're going to jam here. Howie, let's just say, like, this BRICS thing takes off, the petrodollar crashes. Do you think the power of the U.S. government, the International Monetary Fund, whoever it is that the WB... right, whoever is in control of setting the price of gold and silver, do you think if they lose power, the price of gold and silver could skyrocket? Because everyone says that silver is completely and utterly undervalued.
It is. I think it is. Well, shit, Sam, shit, of course it hasn't gone anywhere. I mean, gold has gone up pretty solid over the past, you know, 5-10 years. But I mean, you look at silver was trading this high back in 2011. So silver's got a long ways to go. I mean, but person I talked to said precious metals in general, you know, they're hitting all time highs right now, and silver has a little catching up to do. Gold's had a great run. I mean, you know, gold was at the right where it was here back in 2012, but hell, it was at, you know, it's quadrupled since 2004. So, you know, I think it could still keep going up. I don't think the petrol dollar and everything, I don't think that's going anywhere for a while. I don't think BRICS will have the power that the media is giving them right now, just because, look, man, what are they going to use for a monetary staple? You're not going to use the yuan. The yuan is like 2% of the world's paper right now. Nobody has any faith in any kind of Russian or China dollar. I mean, anywhere in the world, still they go by the dollar. So,
Johnny, do you think that's true?
Well, I mean, what do you that the world uses the U.S. dollar financial currency?
This BRICS thing isn't a legit thing.
Oh, you know, do I think it's a threat to the stability of the global economy? No, not really, because they're still dependent on trade with the United States. They all are. They weren't, then we would have a problem, you know, if we were. But yeah, I don't know. The two players are China and the U.S. That's it. That's what we need to worry about. And China can't, like we always say, China can't get rid of us. Can't quit us.
I mean, and China's, you know, domestic growth over the next 5 years, the outlook looks, you know, a lot worse than ours. So, you know, I think they have more bigger problems to focus on right now. You know, in the future, anything's possible, you know, someday, not in the short term.
Finally. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. We're now going to go over to the very, very fun and exciting and dangerous Patreon called Cash Daddies.